It starts off with this cheesy song that everyone can sing. It's really not that difficult. There's not that much to learn. It starts to show off every day, and then it's lovely fun. She's a real nice person, and we all get along. And she's been known to join in with our Thursday cheesy song.
The Thursday cheesy song. The Thursday cheesy song. The Thursday cheesy song.
Good morning from the Chris Moyle Show.
Good morning
from the Chris Moyle Show.
Good morning from the Chris Moyle Show.
For legal reasons, this is not the Chris Moyle Show, and this is not International Radio 1. It's the Expat Live Show on Radio Guerrilla. Greetings, Xenophiles. Happy birthday, the 50th, to Chris Moyles, one of the few British DJs who I think is still inventive. That's why I played that. It's from his days in Radio 1. I hope the BBC don't sue me. This was... Anyway, James Blunt, singer-songwriter, also 50 today. Yeah, that guy. And 1 year later, Drew Barrymore, remember from E.T.? Yeah, Drew Barrymore, she's 49 today.
Give me a break.
Really? Yep, that's it. On this day in 1882, the Serbian kingdom is refounded. I guess there must have been a fault with the first time. I don't know. On this day in 1968, a rock band called Genesis released the first ever record called Silent Sun, which no one's ever heard of. And they still can't dance, apparently. And on this day in 1997, in Scotland, United Kingdom, scientists revealed the world's first cloned animal. Do you remember Dolly the Sheep?
I do remember Dolly the Sheep, yeah.
You do remember Dolly. Anyway, talking of Scotland, our guest this week is from there. Now, Dan Healy. You probably heard of him. Not the Dan Healy who sound engineered for the Grateful Dead.
No.
But has collaborated with pretty much everyone else you've ever heard of or never heard of in music. Dan Healy, the singer, songwriter, musician, producer. I'm not going to tell you who you are. Dan Healy, who do you think you are?
Oh, I think you've done it pretty well, man. That was a really good introduction. I couldn't have done better myself. So thank you. Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay. So we will... go through the story in the usual four chapters, and let's get cracking, because I guess we got a lot to talk about, and we also have to make some space for you to play live. Let's start with the beginning.
Expat Life.
The Rollback.
Tell me about your childhood.
So the man said, you know, that's a sample from a Thomas Dolby record.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that, but yeah.
So, your childhood. We've already established the Scotland part, but where?
So I was born in a wee town, because we say
wee town.
Scottish people say wee, so for anyone out there who doesn't know, wee is a little town.
I thought it was a Nintendo video game.
It is also that as well, but it's a wee town near Glasgow called Alexandria that I grew up in.
So. Alexandria, there's the one just down the road from here?
I know, actually, there's definitely... there's been a sort of Romanian connection my whole life, right. For sure, you know. Or an Egyptian connection, I don't know.
Well, could be that, yeah. Did it have a big library?
It actually did have a good library. The Library of Alexandria was just at the bottom of my road, actually, funny enough. Yeah, I think I stole a few books from there when I was a kid, so I probably... Don't tell them.
Man, the fines will be huge now.
I know.
Imagine when...
The interest on that, yeah.
When the current UK government decided to close down all the libraries, which basically they've done, right? All the people who never took the books back, did they get their fines sort of annulled?
Yeah, they're sort of pardoned, yeah.
And you were on the banks of... tell me.
Yeah, just on the banks of Loch Lomond.
When you were telling me that, I was trying to find a piece...
Beautiful. Man, I'm feeling nostalgic.
Yeah, that's a band called The Enid. They were a prog rock band from the 70s who did rock arrangements of classical and folk music.
Beautiful.
And sold almost no records.
It's like, it reminds me of myself.
So, how was it in Alexandria? Was it a small town, big town? Were you in the middle of it? Were you a town boy or were you a sort of country boy?
Yeah, I mean, it's like a small suburb of Glasgow. So it was kind of, it's where they kind of, like, I don't know if you know, but in the 70s and the 80s, they built the motorway straight through Glasgow. You know, Glasgow City Council thought that would be a great idea, you know. So they knocked down all these beautiful tenement buildings. Mm-hmm. And
it's the first time I've heard tenements being described as beautiful.
Yeah, well, it depends how you look at it, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, they're probably worth a fortune now, all those tenements that survived, you know. But yeah, so they moved people from to either Cumbernauld or like near where we stay. Yeah. And they built these kind of like areas there. So it's kind of, I guess it was kind of like a suburb of Glasgow, let's say. But it was, far enough away and close enough to Glasgow.
Did it have its own schools or did you have to commute into Glasgow for that?
We didn't have our own schools, actually. Except mine was actually set on fire, but...
it wasn't you, was it?
Well, they're still investigating it, but...
the statute of limitations must apply by now.
Yeah, that's why I'm in Romania, really, actually. I'm escaping the...
That explains everything.
The arson charges, yeah. I can't remember why that happened, really. We just woke up one morning and there was ash everywhere, and I think it was a disgruntled student who, you know, didn't like their grade or something.
I can see the hats in the air and everybody's going, yahoo!
Well, I was saying yahoo until I had to spend the next 3 or 4 years in these little, I don't know what you call them, like porta cabins.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, in the winter, obviously, in Scotland, they're not the best, you know, when they're covered in water and all that, but yeah.
Were you in a big old family or were you the golden child?
Actually, I was an only child.
No having to fight for attention, but then you had no one you could blame anything on.
Well, that's it. I think it explains a lot, let's say. It was good. It's my very small family, but very loving family, and a lot of music in my family as well. Like, my dad's a musician. My granny Healy, she was a really great singer, and there was always music in my house. There was always something lively kind of going on, you know. So
I've just realised something. Any relation with Fran Healy?
No, actually, and it's funny because he's the same spelling as well. So maybe somewhere down the line, I mean, there could have been. Yeah. I mean, there really could have been somewhere down the line, because it's usually people spell it H-E-A-L-E-Y.
Correct.
But mine is H-E-A-L-Y. So he's the same. But
lazy, basically.
Yeah. I think it was all the Irish just trying to escape. They dropped the O from the start, you know. So it was O'Healy.
Oh, yes.
And then they dropped the E, and then, so I think they were trying to, all the Irish were over in Scotland trying to escape something, you know. So trying to blend in. You know?
It was Ronan O'Keating.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it was whatever. That's where you put the apostrophe, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I mentioned about your schools and you had them locally, but did you enjoy them? Were you good at it? Was it something you just tolerated? I mean...
No, I mean, look, I had a kind of sort of an up and down relationship with school, let's say. I mean, I liked certain things about it, but I honestly couldn't wait to leave. I was always very creative, and unfortunately that time in Scotland and I think in the UK, there wasn't much investment into the arts at that time, you know, in the 90s, even in the music department, they had like four strings on the guitars and this kind of stuff, you know, and there was no drama department, there was nothing really. So I think I just couldn't wait to leave so I could do music, I could go into acting, I could perform. So I think that was my main sort of focus, was just like getting out, really. So I left at 16, you know, went to college.
Yeah, okay. And so I'll do it for real instead of wasting my time writing formulas on blackboards and stuff. So when you were not at school, music was music. Were you one of these guys who was running around with musical instruments from very young age, or how did that work?
Yeah. I mean, I was. I think I started playing guitar like 10 or 11, something like that. And okay. You know, and I kind of resisted that a little bit because my dad's a guitarist,
right?
You know, and he, you know, we had beautiful guitars lying around the house. You know, as you said before, mm-hmm. off air, you're talking about your Les Paul. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Les Pauls and Stratocasters, right. And you know, so I was very lucky in that regard.
The difference,
you know,
was your dad could play them.
Well, I don't know. I've not heard you play yet, Steve. So, you know, we need to rectify that. Yep. But yeah, so so I was kind of resisted it for a while. I wanted to do everything else, play piano, do other stuff, because you don't want to do what your old man's doing, you know. And then
this is precisely why I chose the guitar, because I was forced to take piano lessons. And in the middle of that first year of piano lessons with the piano teacher from hell, regular listeners will already know this story, oh my Lord, my brother got an electric guitar for Christmas, and I'm thinking, like, okay, I've got to be learning Bobby Shafto on the piano with this woman from hell, or I could be cool with an electric guitar around my neck. Which one am I going to choose?
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand that, actually, because I think you had a similar experience, and it was, I think I saw some other guy in school, mm-hmm. you know, and he was playing the guitar, and all the girls were like, who's this guy, you know?
As they were 20 minutes ago, when you were just tuning up there and doing a little quick bit of a sound check. I don't know if you could hear what the girls in this building were saying, because you had your headphones on, but they all came rushing in. They were, man, they fell in love with you.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, the sixth string has been a sort of, you know, a leveler for me my whole life, actually. So, you know, I was all right in the looks, but I think the, you know, the sixth string sort of level things out for me. But for a lot of musicians, actually, that's why they play. They get into it for all the wrong reasons, yeah. I guess. Or right reasons, who knows?
the musicians did it initially to get the girls, and the comedians did it initially because they didn't want to get beaten up.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. I think it's a similar vibe with musicians, though, because if you kind of went through that period as well in school where it was like, you know, the guys kind of thought it was kind of cool, uh-huh. that you played guitar. You know, I never had that experience where people were like, oh, that's, you know, lame, you know. It was always quite a nice thing, you know.
Guitars are always cool, you know.
Yeah, man, yeah.
there was a time about 1974, I think it was, when suddenly for about a week, all the boys in school wanted to learn how to play the violin.
Whoa.
It lasted about a week. And it was the week after Steve Harley's Cockney Rebel were on Top of the Pops playing Judy Teen. Remember? Think, 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 that one.
Yeah.
Everyone, oh, let's learn that. Oh, violins are suddenly cool. Lasted a week.
Yeah, I think the reality of that kicks in pretty quick, you know.
Because a badly played violin has got to be one of the most horrific sounds that could possibly be heard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you were teenager, let's say, at that age when people start thinking, when I grow up, I want to be an astronaut, a train driver, a lawyer, a doctor, or what did you want? Was it a musician even back then?
Yeah. I mean, I never really kind of dreamed of anything else. You know, it's I did acting as well. Uh-huh. You know, I had a separate career as an actor, which was pretty good as well. You know, I had some nice moments in my acting career, good theatre shows and TV shows and stuff like that. But it was always coming back to music. You
That's
know?
Where I've seen your face.
Crime Watch. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been sort of a parallel career with that. I mean, it was two extremely risky and stupid careers to do, but we're getting there.
Not the usual, you know, let's get a profession behind you just in case it all goes wrong. Nah.
Nah. Yeah.
That's boring.
It was, I think sort of my dad was a big inspiration because, uh-huh. you know, I think he actually really, really wanted to pursue music and, you know, because I was born and, you know, I think there was a lot of responsibilities. He really went down, you know, the road of being an electrician, engineer, and he always did music as well. But I think that, you know, I'm going to play one of his songs later. But he really did have and does have an incredible talent. So
right.
I think he has always been supportive of my crazy career, mm-hmm. which is I've been lucky.
Good, because it could have gone the other way. He could have got resentful about, you know, that could have been me.
Well, that wouldn't have been pleasant. Yeah. So no, my dad's like my best friend. So it's my mum and my dad actually. We're really good friends. So it's
good to hear.
Yeah, took a while to get there. We had our ups and downs, of course, but it's I think as you get older and stuff, things level out. You know,
you bury the hatchets as you get older. At least you bury them as you're younger, but when you get older, you forget where you bury them, so they stay buried.
That's it, yeah. it's a blessing.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
If I was to go to... I've been to almost everywhere in Scotland except Glasgow. It's weird. I've been around it a lot because I used to drive sort of from the west coast to Edinburgh, west coast of England to Edinburgh. So I'd go up to Glasgow and across the M8. Was it the 7? The 8. But I never went into Glasgow, not even once. So I don't know anything about it. If I'm going to go there tomorrow, what should I look at first?
Oh, wow. I mean, it depends what you want to do. I mean, Glasgow, I think Edinburgh is like one of those immediate cities. You sort of like, you see the castle, there's a lot of stuff to see.
I love it, but I've done it so many times.
I know, it's kind of, there's a few places there that, you know, that are very immediate, whereas Glasgow, I think, is one of those places you have to be there for like a week or get to know the place, walk around, you know. But anywhere in the city centre, the West End, if you're going to go to Glasgow for one day, I'd say go to the West End because it's full of amazing coffee shops, restaurants, bars, great vintage shops. Yeah. It's really quirky and a gorgeous place, so yeah.
Nice. Time's ticking on. It's time to play your first piece of music, and it's a piece by you. In fact, all the music we're going to hear tonight is by you.
Woo.
Your good self. I'm going to start now. Now, you didn't tell me which order to put them in, but I chose for logistical reasons to start with Sacrifice. So
okay,
tell me
what's
this about and why?
So, Sacrifice is kind of about letting something go that's bad for you. And also giving in and letting people help you.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it. This is Dan Healy, the man himself with Sacrifice.
I've been waiting all night for the perfect line to say to you. I've been trying to figure out what's wrong, what's right, but I just can't choose. 'Cause you got me thinking about something better. Ooh, something true. But I'm a lover, I'm a liar, I'm a coward, I'm a tiger. You can use me all night, all your life. And you saw me in the corner. I look back, she's walking over. If you bruise me, I'll be your bride. Use me, I'd be a sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. I'd be a sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. I've been diving down deep, trying to find some peace here for way too long. The answers I seek always out of reach. I was too far gone. But you make me feel like I could become someone better. Ooh, someone new. I'm a lover, I'm a liar, I'm a coward, I'm a tiger. You can use me all night, all your life. Then you saw me in the corner. I look back, she's walking over. If you bruise me, I'll be your bride. Use me, I'd be a sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. I'd be a sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice.
People gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, Expat Life, with Dan Healy. Now, this is the money, money, money bit. So you left your school, you're now going to do that thing that keeps you, keeps the lights on. Bringing home the bacon. And you're going to start with an example of it. Now, Danny's sitting over there on a stool with a guitar on his knee, and we're going to hear what he can do with it. What's the first thing you're going to play for us?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to start with... It's a song called All the Same.
Right.
And it's quite a special song for me because this song was written by my dad.
It was actually
written in 1989.
Uh-huh.
I was at home at Christmas, and we were, you know, listening to some old tapes and stuff, you know, and I just heard this song and I was like, you know what, Dad, this song, the lyrics in this song are so relevant to what's going on today in the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just thought it's so crazy that this was written in 1989, but it sounds like he's describing exactly what's happening in the world now. So
yeah.
I just thought it'd be cool to put it out there in the universe and, yeah, see what happens. So.
Okay. In your own time.
Okay, well, hey. Oh, thank you.
The streetwise intellectuals pray. I hear your four-piece orchestra play. And I sat down, showed them a few chords. Now as some countries unify, and some men choose to live or die, or kill a man because he wrote some words. But it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same to me. And apathy amongst the young is losing all the gains we've won. And though their lives have just begun, they're dying. And the dollar has replaced the cross, and city merchants are the lords, and credit is the Son of God they're buying. But it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same to me. And people die in bloody wars in the name of some forgotten cause. What happened all those years ago lives on. And you see it in the children's eyes as parents teach them to despise the color, race, or creed of another. But it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all. I met a man in Johnny's bar. He held a handsome red guitar. He asked me for some help, and I denied him. Now I wonder what he's doing now, as I eat from the sacred cup and praise myself on my humanity. It's all the same to me. But it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all the same to me.
Wow. What was your dad's name, Nostradamus?
Close. It's Hugh Healy.
Yeah.
H-H, double H.
Oh, so, right. That was an amazing thing.
Yeah,
that sounded so good.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's I can't take credit for the lyrics, but certainly, yeah, it's to me, it was actually one of the first songs that I ever recorded ever.
Uh-huh.
I went to a studio when I was like 13 or 14. That was like the first track that I recorded.
Yeah.
You know? So it's nice to be doing this again and doing it with, I guess, an understanding of the words now. And,
yeah.
Yeah, my dad's a genius, honestly. He's a genius.
Now we know where you get it from.
I always say my dad is, the way that he writes is sort of, he writes like the external very well, you know, about the world, about what he sees. And I say my thing was always internal, you know, it was always like, you know, a bit depressing, but yeah.
Well, this is an introverted view. This is sort of, you were writing, this is what I think, and your dad was writing, this is what's happening.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it was like even that line in the song where he said, I'll kill a man because he wrote some words. I think that was the Salman Rushdie thing at that time. But obviously you could say now maybe with cancel culture or whatever. Yeah. But I guess it's up to people who just want to interpret it. I mean, as I say, I'm just a deliverer of the song. But yeah, you can interpret it any way you like.
Channel it through you.
Absolutely.
Marvellous. So you can either choose to sit there or you can come back to here for...
I'll come back. That's a lovely comfy seat over there. Uh-huh. So yeah, we'll come back and then we'll...
Okay, and then we'll talk about a little bit for a few minutes about the next bit of your life where basically you already we've already established that you quit school 16, went to study and you went to study what, acting and music, but that was still locally in Glasgow.
Yeah, I was in.
Why don't I turn you up? That's better.
Hello. I was in. I was in Glasgow, and then sort of done that for a while. Studied acting. I was doing a lot of Scottish TV as well. I was in a bunch of Scottish shows that probably no one will know here. Well, maybe Taggart, Chewing the Fat.
Taggart.
That was the murder mystery police show.
Give me a chance to use my joke, which is when they're rehearsing for Taggart, do they call it Taggart practice?
Oh, come on, Steve. Come on. You missed the mark with that one. Hey.
Oh.
Jeez, we're as bad as each other here.
Touché, indeed. So, and you studied, so you did, it was acting and music, or what?
It was acting, just acting, I sort of had a parallel career. I was touring and, you know, doing, you know, different bits. Mm-hmm. I had a band and then, you know, had my own stuff. And then just, yeah, I'll skip ahead, but I ended up moving to London and to study acting, actually.
A place called Arla.
It no longer exists, I know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's it was the Academy of Live and Recorded Arts. So it was kind of, yeah, we did a bit of music and stuff in there, but it was mainly just, I'd kind of given up on my music a little bit at that time. I'd sort of, I'd went through different things with bands and stuff, and I just decided to focus on acting for a bit. But everything that I got, every job that I got in acting after that was like music related, you know what I mean? So
it seems to be. For example, tell us about the time you played Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Well, I went to acting school in London for 2 years. And then in the middle of that, I got a job in this thing called Backbeat, which is actually a film. It's a film about the Beatles' days in Hamburg.
Yes.
Yeah, it's directed by Ian Softley. So we did the first production of that, which was written by the same, directed by Ian Softley at first, the first version. We done it in Glasgow, and then we ended up going to the West End in London, and then LA and Toronto, and yeah, it was a blast. You know, I got to play Paul McCartney, who was like one of my heroes, you know, and that was amazing. So that was like 3 years of my life doing that, you know, and it was wild.
And then did you tour that around, or was it just the West End? What was it?
We did kind of. I mean, we did the West End for like a year and something, and then we did Toronto. So we went to the King's Theatre in Toronto, and then we went to Los Angeles to do. We did the Amundsen Theatre in Los Angeles. So that it was supposed to go to Broadway, but it's one of those things. I never got picked up for the Broadway run. But it was a great run for us. It was good fun, you know.
Cool. And then a little bit later than that, you actually played also Lennon.
I did. I can't believe you found that, actually. I can't believe you found that. Yeah, I did. I played John Lennon as well, but in his life story in Liverpool, actually. It was the Liverpool Royal Court. So that was a fun production as well.
Yeah. Which one did you prefer playing?
It's a
twist on the usual questions, like who's your favourite Beatle, Lennon or McCartney? No, which one did you prefer to play?
Yeah, well, actually, because I was playing the young Lennon in that, because the guy who actually played Lennon was a guy called Drew Schofield, which is an amazing actor, actually, from Liverpool. He's incredible. So he played the kind of most of the part, and I just kind of did the early stuff and all that. It was kind of more like Yeah, it wasn't so much acting in it, you know. Yeah, exactly. The Quarrymen stuff, yeah. So, but Paul, the McCartney part ended up being a really meaty acting role, actually. So I preferred it for that reason as well. And, you know, I was singing 20 songs a night, you know, singing
Whoa.
A long time, Sally. Oh, like right up there, you know. So I stretched the old vocal cords as well. So it was, I got the Hamburg throat, as they say, you know.
And then you ended up, it sounds like I'm rushing ahead, but I've got my eyes on the clock.
No worries.
Time is flying by. Tell me about Once the Musical.
Yeah, Once the Musical was amazing. It was an Oscar-winning film. I ended up, after Backbeat, going pretty much straight into that and understudying the lead in that. And I had an on-stage part as well. So it was great. You know, we won eight Tony Awards, two Olivier Awards. And it was just a great, great time. You know, it was a music by a guy called Glenn Hansard. And, you know, he won the Oscar for the song Falling Slowly. I don't know if you know. So it was amazing, amazing. And, that was an incredible experience.
And at a point, you then became, you understudied for Ronan Keating.
Yeah, that's in the next chapter of my life.
That became a fork in your life, didn't it? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But after, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hit a quick commercial break. And after that, on the other side of the break, you play me another song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. So let's get on. A word from our sponsors. This is the only piece of music on the show that's not by yourself. It's a sponsored song. It's Luna Amara. Let's listen.
Nice.
Proaspătă sau maturată, la micul dejun, la prânz, la cină sau ca desert, cu vin, chiar și cu bere, brânza românească de la Carrefour sună bine la Radio Guerilla. Carrefour, poftim brânză românească. Prin joi înșine, o zi întreagă de muzică românească la Radio Guerilla.
Strinși într-una strici că nu mai ai unde să împingi atâtea frici. Atâtea clipe în care nu poți să te ridici, dar ești aici. Eu știu ce vreau să spun, dar tu ce vrei să-mi zici, să-mi dai, să-mi strigi. Vrei să înțelegi sau să câștigi? Surme tot mai lungi, că tot n-ajungi. Tot nu poți să pricepi că oriunde te duci, ești la răscruci. Acolo unde toți știu ce mai bine pentru tine. Și atunci, de ce alegi să te să spui nu la o mie de da și nu te du acolo unde știi că nu poți fi în tine tu. Prins între luni de fiere gri și insomnii, vrei să înțelegi sau doar să știi?
Vă rog frumos.
Expat life. Expat life.
Chaotic. Quixotic.
Exotic.
Welcome back, Expat Life, with Dan Healy, and we're gonna get another piece of live. Your Dan ship. You're all capoed up there.
Yeah, it's a high one. This one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. What is it? What are you gonna do?
It's called Shadow Walking.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just an original track, which is coming out this year at some point. Again, it's not out yet, so it's
another... Exclusive. Expat Live Radio Gorilla exclusive. We like these. You can come back. Off you go in your own time.
Cool.
Coming down easy becomes so hard. Never seemed to find what I was looking for. Took 1,000 steps when I had to move a yard. And the sound of the crowd was drowned by silence. But it's a long road back to heaven when you're rock and roll and free. And if you see my shadow walking, would you give my soul back to me? Would you give my soul back to me? Tried to keep my cool, but I was always on fire. You said I was a foregone conclusion. See, good intentions only get me so far. 'Cause even when I quit, I'm still using. But it's a long road back to heaven when you're rocking and rolling free. And if you see my shadow walking, would you give my soul back to me? Would you give my soul? And when the song keeps changing, I won't be coming back. I won't be coming back. No, 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 no. Oh. And it's a long road back to heaven. Would you give my soul back to me? Would you give my soul back to me? Would you give my soul back to me?
Ultimesque.
That's really rather called goosebumpsy. I mean, that sounded great on the radio. You should be sitting where I am.
Yeah, Putin. I'm on sales for Putin.
Nah.
Yeah. That's my get out clause.
Yeah. I'm new. So, no, I did that.
Exactly. See, that's too advanced for me. That's way too advanced. But.
Okay. Now, do you want to come back and sit in this chair?
Yeah, sure.
If you like, we'll talk about because at a point you became you became good friends with this guy.
Yeah.
Built these walls around me so they never seem to fall.
In fact, you wrote this, didn't you?
I did write that, yeah. Yeah, that's good, actually. We'll be chasing you for the PR, Esther.
Yeah, absolutely. Correct. Just a clip, though.
Yeah, just a clip. That's a sign, yeah.
You said you understudied for Ronan in that was in Once, right?
Yeah.
And then you got along quite well, the Scotsman and the Irishman.
We did, yeah. I think it must have been the Celtic connection, you know. We did... He, he, as I said, I had kind of, once the musical is a story about a guy who's sort of given up on his music, and I had sort of given up on my music at that time, but I was still had, you know, putting some songs on SoundCloud or whatever, you know, and I was still writing songs, but he heard something, I think I'd posted something, he heard the song and he went, hey man, we should do some writing together, you know, and the rest is kind of history, really. We became really good friends. Ended up writing 12 songs for him over the last 10 years. I've toured in his band, you know, toured so many countries, you know, just playing rhythm guitar and backing vocals for Ronan, all over the world. So it's been an interesting experience, let's say.
Yeah. And not only, I mean, I read somewhere that you were also on tour with Ed. Mr. Sheeran?
I wasn't quite on tour with him, but I played with him. I played guitar in a gig with him. Yeah, it was a sort of corporate thing, but yeah. So it's I've met him a couple of times. He's not on my speed dial, but I've met him a couple of times.
Because when you were tuning up earlier, Irina, the Bogdan's producer, rushed in and she said to me, I didn't know Ed Sheeran was playing tonight.
Yeah, I'm like the Romanian version, I think. Yeah.
Sheeranescu.
Sheeranescu, yeah. That's my new nickname now in Romania.
Yep. And so you've collaborated with all sorts of various people. Rick Astley.
Yeah, I played live with Rick, yeah.
Who's back now, back, isn't he?
Yeah,
since
he did
Glastonbury and wowed the crowd, he's now cool again.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, I've just done, you know, I wasn't regular with him, but we played live a couple of times and he's a cool guy, very cool guy.
Yeah. Nice. And what did you worked for? Various people. Peter Vertes, Annie Lennox.
Well, no, I mean, that's more. Pete worked, Peter Vertes. I actually wrote a lot of songs with Peter Vertes on Ronan's album. He was the producer at that time. And, you know, Peter's an amazing guy. He's written with Annie Lennox. Like, he wrote a lot of the Eurythmics stuff, Miley Cyrus and you name it, basically, Pete's worked with. And so, the past 10 years has been really a whirlwind of being around good songwriters and producers, and I think that's why now, because I know we didn't talk about that much, but I've got my own record label here in Romania and
Passionway Records.
Passionway, yeah. So that's kind of the last 10 years has been informing. I'm going now. So
the clock is flying by, so I need you to do this quickly. But you ended up here. I mean, all this massive, musical career, playing and writing for and with the stars, and now you're here. How the hell did that happen?
Well, basically, I was playing a concert. I was in Poiana Brasov. I still can't say it. Poiana Brasov, doing a concert with Ronan, and I met my Iubita Mea.
You know, did you know? She was in the crowd. Ronan, just Ronan, like first name terms. Ronan.
All right enough, yeah. Mr. Keating, yeah. And I met Andrea at the concert, and it was really weird because I hadn't been to Romania ever in my life, and then once I think like 4 or 5 times in 1 year, like, gigs kept bringing me back, and my friend was filming a Netflix thing here, and I came over to stay with him while he was filming, and it was all in the same year, you know, so something was like just kept bringing me back to Romania, and we played the Teleferic, and then we played the Cherbourg d'Hour Festival.
Ah, right.
And and then me and Andrea, we met during that, and that was it. We'd spent every day talking to each other since, you know. Nice. And that's it. And we're getting married. We're getting married this year. So
in November.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Congratulations for that.
Yeah. So
there you were on your stage, right? And you were playing with Ronan, right? And suddenly in the front row, yeah. And suddenly it's like this, right?
She's listening right now as well. Yeah.
So was it instantly that, or did that part take a bit later?
Do you know what it was? It was, they talk about love at first sight. It really was. It was like we saw each other in the corridor, and it was just like one of those moments, like we knew each other our whole lives. I know it sounds cheesy, but it's the truth.
They're the best story. They are the best ones.
And it just, this connection, you just cannot explain. And I would say to anyone who's, you know, out there looking for that, it does come if you're open to it. And, you know, it took me 34 years or whatever it was, but it was, I'm very lucky. She's a one in a million. She's, yeah. Yep. I said to her, tu es dragosta vieti mele.
See, you learn the right things first. I only learned the swear words for the first 5 years.
I know those as well, but it's a PG show.
You're also collaborating with local people.
Yeah, this is Cosmic with Bianca Linta. Yeah, and we're also doing, like, as a songwriter, producer, like, I'm now working with Edward Meyer. You know, I've also worked with Iwana Ignat. You know, we were supposed to have a song coming out with Ronan as well. I set up a duet with her and Ronan.
Right.
But I don't know what's happening with that at the moment. Hopefully that's coming out this year. So that should be good. I'm trying to bridge some international connections here. Yeah. So, so yeah, and also, like, with Passion Way, you know, discovering, like, new talent and, and produce, like, I'm producing who you had on your show, Ross, yeah, Ross, right. Woodhouse. So he's going to be a big star, in my opinion, in the future. Francesca Hojda, working with her, doing some stuff. Yeah, so it's we're looking for some talent. We're looking for talent. So if there's any talented young artists out there, get in contact.
Right, yeah, Passion Way Records. Find it on Facebook. Find Dan Healy Music also on Facebook.
Yeah,
or
Dan
Instagram.
Healy Music, yeah. It's, I can see hash A-L-U-Y, Dan Healy Music.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Now, we're almost out of time, can you believe? But we've got to hit another a quick commercial break and we'll come back and just wrap the story up. So bear with us.
This is Expat Life. You know you want it. Expat Life.
Next chapter.
Welcome back. Next Expat Life. Next chapter with Dan Healy. Now, next chapter. It's the last chapter of the show. The next chapter of your life. It's basically the stargazing, the future. This music you can hear in the background. The BBC Radiophonic Workshop.
Beautiful.
It's just stargazing.
Wow.
Anyway, what are your plans? Are you going to stick around here?
Well, I've got no plans to leave unless they kick me out. But but yeah, I've got no plans to leave. I mean, I think, like I was saying earlier, we're just really like focused on songwriting and producing and trying to work. And I think in Romania, you know, especially the younger generation, you know, like, they really sing well in English, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think at the moment, like, you know, I know from some sources, let's say in the music industry, that things are turning for the better. I think, in my opinion, the guitars are coming back. You know, there's going to be a lot more rock and a lot more pop, like, you know what I mean, good
it
pop
goes,
coming
goes
back.
It goes in waves, doesn't it? I know what you mean.
It does, it comes in waves with all this stuff, you know, and look, I love dance music as much, or trap or whatever, as much as anyone, but, you know, I think people are sick of it, honestly, and I think guitars are coming back in a big way, and I think the young generation in Romania, they sing very, very well in English, and I think there's a lot of potential, so we're looking forward to, like, meeting new people and just developing some young talent here, and, mm-hmm. and yeah, so.
And it's how the locals here, they know all the lyrics, all the songs, in whatever language they were written.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's the Latin thing as well, don't they? Because they can sing in French, they can sing in Italian, you know, it's like, you know, it's incredible, actually. I feel sort of stupid, actually, next to them, but yeah.
What's your take on this thing that people have written theses about and books about, which is that people tend not to sing in their native accent. For example, you still have a fairly good, clear Glasgow, slightly softened Glaswegian accent right there, but it's clearly you're Scottish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not when you sing.
Yeah, I've got a sort of transatlantic accent, I guess, you know, because the Beatles always said that, didn't they? They said we sing in a sort of, because I guess the music that they were influenced by was American music, you know, so they did have this kind of, you know, they weren't like, you know, soaking like that when they were singing, you know, but they were singing in a sort of transatlantic. So I guess that's why. I try and put some Scottish isms in there a little bit if I can. But
not as much as the Proclaimers. There's a YouTube channel by a guy called Dave Huxtable, right? He's an English guy and he talks about languages, foreign languages and accents. He does an accent map of Britain and explains the differences between if you go from Land's End to John O'Groats, how the accents will change. And he does a whole video sequence about, do the Beatles sing in American accents or Liverpool accents? Well, it depends.
Depends, yeah.
It's fascinating watch.
Yeah,
Dave
I'd love
Huxtable.
To see that. I'd
Dave
love to
Huxtable.
See that. Yeah.
I'll send it to you. We are almost out of time. You're going to do more of the same is basically your plan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still touring with Ronan. I'm in South Africa next week.
Oh, yeah? South Africa's a big old place. Where?
Yeah, I'm in Johannesburg next week. Then I'm going to Lapland. I've all played Laponia next week. The week after that with Ronan. We're playing some corporate shows there. So yeah, I'm still touring as well. But I'm,
One final question. What is your take on this one? And we'll have to be quick with the answer.
Okay.
what with the change of the music industry into streaming and Spotify, and unless you're someone who's having a billion streams, you can't make a ton of money any longer. You have to go on tour. Is that really the case?
I think so. I think so, yeah. I mean, you can still make a lot of money from it, but you have to be, you know, you have to be up there, you know, you have to be doing the billions, you know, the hundreds of millions. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, you can still make money, but it's not, it's changing. It's, things are changing, but I think it also gives people the freedom to be who they want to be. They don't have to have a record label anymore if they don't want to, you know, they can be their own record label and produce themselves and put stuff out. So
as you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's it.
Speaking of which, we're totally out of time. I'm going to go out with your, with Only Your Touch.
Woohoo!
Tell me, what this about?
This is written for Andrea. You know, I was struggling. She's been my rock through really hard times, and this was my thank you to her.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nice thing to go out on. Yeah, thank you very much. So Dan Healy, fabulous story, expert, beautifully, entertainingly told, but I don't think we hardly scratched the surface. I guess you're going to have to come back.
Absolutely.
Because
it'd be my pleasure.
Think there are things we could talk about, and maybe with Ross when you've got something to release.
Absolutely. No, we'd love to do that. That'd be, I'm sure Ross would be up for it as well. So,
let's do some of that. So let's go out with Dan Healy and Only Your Touch. Now, this is a nice start. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Steve. Yeah.
This has been Expat Life.
I never want to let you down. Oh, no, I never want to let you down. I've had enough. Yeah, I had enough. I don't want to spend my life with all my arrows pointing down. I'm looking up, I'm looking up. One day I hope I'll be forgiven as I lay down upon your breast. Got this burden off my chest. I'm a stranger in the world that I've been living. But in the end I'll do my best with what I'm given. I'm the spark beside your flame. I'm the player, you're the game. Only your touch can lift me up. I'm the rain and you're the storm. When I ride, you prove me wrong. Only your touch can lift me up. Baby, when I'm all out of, baby, when I'm all out of love, I'm in love. Only your touch. Keep me safe, you keep me warm. You shine a light to guide me home. Only your touch.
Only your touch.
Stay tuned for Umad Rial. Young minds, fresh ideas.
I never thought I'd get so low, but I just can't forget these memories. Just like my goals, I keep them close. One day I hope I'll be forgiven as I crash down upon your bed. You whispered mercy on my head. Cause I know what life I should be living. You'll be catch me if I fall from heaven. No, no,
I'm
no.
The spark beside your flame. I'm the player, you're the game. Only your touch can lift me up.
Can lift me up.
I'm the rain and you're the storm. When I ride, you prove me wrong.
Only your touch
can lift me up.
Can lift me up.
And baby, when I'm all.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New mops, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.